We began a series a couple weeks ago on the subject of I Believe. We're talking about things that are fundamental to Christian faith and values and things that all of us should know and be reminded of. It's Peter said on one occasion, he said, I know you know this, but I just want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of some of these things. And that's what we're trying to do through the summer months, is just to look at some things that I know you already know this, but a reminder is good. And maybe will help to encourage us to get on task and to make sure that we're doing these things that are fundamental to our Christian faith. We've talked about so far, I believe in God. That was one of the discussions that we had. We talked about our belief in the Bible being the Word of God. We talked about our belief in the church last week and the value of it and the importance of it. And today I want us to talk about the obligation that we have within the church to be holy. I don't know that we can overstress that. I think sometimes we stress the structure of the church, but we haven't talked maybe as much about the purity and the holiness of those who comprise the church. And that's really important for the church to fulfill its mission. I heard the story about a little boy. Maybe this has happened in your house. A little boy, every night, he'd roll out of bed and fall on the floor, and the parents could hear a ka-thump on the, you know, floor, and then he would cry, and they'd have to get out of bed every night and you know, humor him, or, well, that's not the best word, is it? You don't humor them. You comfort them. You comfort that child that fell out of bed. And then you put him back down, and every night, though, he, ka-thump, you know, you heard this. And so one morning, the dad was getting tired. He was wanting to get some sleep and couldn't get any sleep, so he sat the boy down in the morning at the breakfast table and said, listen, son, why do you keep falling out of bed every night? And the little boy, just as innocent as can be, just said, well, I guess it's because I just stay too close to the point where I get in. And I think that, in a nutshell, is the problem of holiness in the church, or the lack thereof. A lot of people don't mature into walk closer, or don't, you know, pursue walking closer to Jesus. They're too close to the place where they came in. There should be a difference in someone who has shed their sins and have escaped the sin that of their past through baptism. There should be a difference in that person who just comes out of the waters of baptism and is trying to live for Jesus, and one who's been doing it for years and years. We need to get away from that edge and pursue holiness in our life. The passage that Adrian just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 reminds us that we are not our own, and that we are the temple of God. And as a temple, we need to be holy people. And the church needs to be a holy place, because this is the dwelling of God. And so I want us to look this morning at holiness. I believe in holiness. To begin with, let's start again, just by way of refresher, what the purpose of the church is. Last week we talked about this, and we discussed the purpose of the church. And we said that the church, if a church loses its way, if a church forgets its mission, it gets in the way. A church that loses its way gets in the way of people trying to reconnect with God and be reconciled with God. The Pharisees are a prime example in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus said, you know what? Here's the door to the kingdom, and you won't go through it, and you stand there in the way and won't let other people go through it. Not only are you not going through, but you're keeping other people from going through. I don't want this church to get in the way of people finding a relationship, a saving relationship with Jesus. And in order to avoid doing that, we have to stay on mission. We have to stay on focus. And our mission in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, I think, sums it up. To God be glory in the church through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. That's the mission of the church, to bring glory to God. And I can't do that if I'm not holy. In fact, I'll do the opposite of that if I live an unholy life, because you see that with the Jewish people, the children of God, in Romans chapter 2. Well, in Romans chapter 1, the Gentiles are guilty of sin. In Romans chapter 2, Paul looks at the life of the children of God, the Jews, God's chosen people. And he says, you know, you say don't commit adultery, you commit adultery. You say don't do this, and you do this. And he gets down a little bit further, and he said, you know what? The name of God, he doesn't say is glorified. He says the name of God is blasphemed because of you. Why? Because they weren't holy. They were the people of God, but they weren't living holy lives. And that causes the world that looks on to say, this is a sham. There's nothing to this stuff. These people are good at talking, but they can't live what they're talking. And so it gets in the way. If we're not holy, we get in the way. Our mission and the way we fulfill this mission of bringing glory to God, well, it's by being the point of contact Jesus needs in the world today. How is Jesus, you know, there was a time when Jesus lived here and he walked among us and he ran into people. And he had these conversations, and he performed miracles, and he touched people, and he healed people, and he showed compassion to people. How does he do that today, now that he's gone? He rose from the tomb and ascended into heaven, and he's been there for 2,000 years almost. So how does Jesus impact the world today? Through us. We are to be the point of contact for Jesus with the world. We're to speak the things that he would speak. We're to use our hands to minister as Jesus would minister if he were here. We're to use our feet to take us where Jesus would have gone if he were here. That's the purpose of the church. That's how we fulfill the ministry of the body of Christ, by allowing ourselves to be used by God to be what Jesus was while he was here on the earth. So how do we do that if we're not holy? How can I make a difference in the lives of people who are sinners and who are in need of salvation if I'm not holy? Let me tell you what the Bible says about our need for holiness. And if you have your Bible, you might want to turn there. But holiness is essential in fulfilling this purpose. For instance, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, and so forth. But he says, listen, becoming a Christian is like changing your clothes. You take off that nasty stuff, you get rid of the dirty clothes, and you put on some better clothes. And some of that which we put on, he says, number one, it's holy. It's holy. We've been chosen by God, and we're to be holy. And as we put on these new clothes, we need to act with compassion and kindness and tenderness and forgiveness. And he talks about those qualities that we need to possess. But one of them was holiness. God expects it. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, and also in verse 16, he said, he who called us is holy, therefore you be holy. Since God who called us is holy, we have to be holy. Makes sense. And then it says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. We can't have fellowship with God if we're living sinful lives. God's holy. When he looks at that, he can't tolerate that. It's against his very nature. It's not who he is. God is a God of love and truth and justice. And when we live counter to love and truth and justice, he sees that with contempt. It's not who he can fellowship. And so we have to be holy people. And that holiness, of course, is not attained through perfection. I can't ever get it so right that I'm just like God. But I'll tell you what we do have as a child of God is we have forgiveness, and we get to start all over. And I get to wipe the slate clean and start anew every day. And I can manage that. That's what God gives us. That's the blessing of being a child of God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, the Bible tells us, listen, pursue. This is not something that falls in your lap. This is something that is to be a pursuit in our life. pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Listen, it's easy to just kind of go through the motions, but we need to pursue holiness. It's not to be something that we happen on or stumble upon, or when we're in the right company, it comes a little easy for us. But when we get out of the right company, then we just kind of revert to old way. He says, pursue it. Holiness is to be a pursuit of mine. You know what would make for a good study is to consider the things in the Bible that God says, pursue. We may not be pursuing some of those things like we should. Holiness is a pursuit to the child of God. And it ought to be not a back burner issue, but it ought to be a forefront thing where we constantly try to do better with the way we live our lives. Well, let's move on to this third point, because I want you to see this. There's a challenge to holiness, and the challenge is in how we see holiness lived out. I would dare say that we haven't always reacted to holiness in a holy way. Sometimes when we see holiness lived out, we view it with contempt, even the people of God. Sometimes when we see holiness displayed or put on display for us and exhibited for us, we malign it. One example. What about maybe you're at a restaurant and you look across the way and you see a family and they're all sitting there praying, and you might say something like, yeah, get these people making a show over there. Religious fanatics. I hope that wouldn't ever be our attitude, because that takes people who are pursuing holiness and we got a problem with it. We view it as some kind of abnormality. What about a person who decides, you know what, I'm not going to dress like everybody else. I'm going to dress modestly. I'm going to cover myself, and that may mean I don't look like and I'm not as stylish as what everybody's wearing now, but I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what honors God. And do we ever look at people that make those decisions in their life and look at them and say, can you believe such prudes? Oh, man, what is the matter with them? Can you believe they dress that way? It's a pursuit of holiness, and yet we might show contempt for it. Or what about somebody who goes to a play or watching television, and they say, yeah, it's just too much swearing. It's too much God's name taken in vain. There's too much gratuitous. We're done. Let's leave. Turn the channel. And we look at those people and say, what? Goody two-shoes. You know, these guys think they're holier than thou. They can't sort through and sift through this. Come on. Those people are pursuing holiness. Could they ever be met with contempt by the children of God? Here's a person who won't download or share illegal music. I just think those rules are silly. You know, you ought to be able to download as much music as you want and play it and listen to it and share it with whoever you want. I think our laws of the land are silly. And so, you know, I'm just going to do what I want to do there and not pay attention to what the laws of the land do. And somebody else says, I can't share that with you. I paid for that and I'm not allowed to. And we, what's the deal? You know, hung up over that? Man, get a life. But that's a pursuit of holiness. And yet as we look on, we might have contempt for it. Somebody has a problem with another person and they do what the Bible says and they go to them and say, listen, this was said the other day and it's really bothered me ever since it was said, and I just want to make it right and clear the air and get all this done. And the person acts cordial until they part ways. Then they get on the phone and say, you'll never believe what so-and-so had the gall to come and say to me today. Called me on the carpet because of, and we talk about that. And all that is a pursuit of holiness. Listen, folks, we need to make sure that the church of Jesus Christ is holy. that it's pure, because we can't fulfill our mission of bringing glory to God if we are impure and unholy people. And so especially us, I can understand the world looking at us from time to time and having contempt because we're trying to live like Jesus would have us to live, but don't let that ever happen from within. We need to defend and applaud and encourage every pursuit of holiness that we see lived out among our brethren. And I'll tell you this, when the normal seems abnormal to us, it's an indication that we're living subnormal lives. When a person is behaving like Jesus wants us to behave, and we think that's weird, goofy, strange, if that normal behavior is strange to me, that tells me something about where I've been living. I need to move it up, raise the bar, because I've been living a sub-normal life. Well, what do we do when we have opportunities? And do we have opportunities to live courageously and to be holy examples for the Lord? Yeah, see, that you can go in the Old Testament and you can look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and you can look at Joshua chapter 1. I think three times in Deuteronomy 31, four times in Joshua chapter 1, and they come right nearly back to back. There's this statement, be courageous, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. Repeated over and over again. Well, I get it. But where do I have the opportunity to live that out? I mean, we live in the USA. We live in a place that accepts and tolerates nearly everything. And do I really have, like, God hasn't called me to slay a giant. I don't have to go kill a giant. And so where's the courage needed to just wake up in the morning and come to the office? God hasn't called me out of the boat to walk on the water. And so where's the courage that I need today? God hasn't called me to tear down the temple of Baal or the altar of Dagon, the image of Dagon. That's something he told. So how, you know, there's great examples in the Bible of be strong and courageous and the need to be that. But where is that today? Where do we get to live out our courage today? I mean, what great thing does God call us to do? And do those passages still apply to us? What courageous thing am I called to perform? Well, I think the answer is in simple things. It's in the day-to-day activities. As you know, we're trying to put together a devotional book for next year. And y'all are writing some articles and turning some in. One of the articles that was turned in this week, and it just... very simple, but it had reference to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love God with all your strength. That's how we live out courageously today. How much strength do you expend in trying to resist sin? You know, when I say use all your strength, I might picture somebody trying to pick up, can you get the back end of a Volkswagen or the front end, depending on where the motor is, can you get that off the ground? Try. And I can see, and you know, when we were in college, we moved a few light cars and we would all lift and, you know, and turn those things. But the strength that was required and the effort, with all our strength, we could pick those up and move them. If I were to ask you to, we're going to have a tug of rope here and tug of war, and we got this rope, and pull with all your strength, the energy that is exerted and expended. When's the last time you used anything close to that with reference to purity and holiness, and trying to love God? See, I don't want to just go through life and just let it happen, and we just kind of take things as they come. And, you know, when I was a kid, a friend of mine had one of those above-the-ground swimming pools, And about four of us guys would get in there and we would hold our hands out and would walk in one direction and get running and get this current going like a whirlpool in that. And then we would try to stop and walk the other direction. It's hard to do. We'd pick you up and take you on around the pool. I don't want to just go through life and just have it happen to me and just go with the flow. God calls us to counterculture living. He calls us to stand against the current. And if we're going to do that, it takes all our strength. When's the last time with all your strength you resisted sin? I know I shouldn't do that, but you know, I can get forgiveness tomorrow. We cave too easily. We don't fight hard enough. We don't resist hard enough. We don't use all our strength in opposing that which we need to oppose. We give up too easily. When's the last time we used all our strength to bite our tongue? Not to say, I said it. I shouldn't have. But if we would have used all of our strength, might we have controlled and stopped things that just were not helpful? When's the last time you used all your strength in, living, dressing holy ways that bring honor and glory to God? The point is, we can still be courageous today. The call for strength and courage, it's ever been alive today as it is, as it was in the days of Joshua. We're not called to walk on water or slay giants or part the Red Sea, but we are called to holiness, to love God with all of our might. Folks, we need to exert our strength. The world needs a holy church. God wants a holy church, but the world needs a holy church. I believe that there's a great need for the bride of Christ, the church, to be holy. You read Ephesians chapter 5 and you see what kind of church God once presented to him, and it's pure, unblemished, spotless, holy. That's what he wants. God isn't interested in a bride that is unholy and blemished. He wants purity and holiness. Without holiness, we're unacceptable to God. He says, you won't see God if you don't pursue holiness. So we'll be unacceptable to God, but we'll also be uninviting and unappealing to the church or to the world. If I live an unholy life, what's the world going to think of me? They're going to see me as a hypocrite, and they want nothing to do with that. So there is a call to holiness. For the church to be what it needs to be in glorifying God, we who consist it need to be holy people. And it's not a matter of option. It's something we should pursue. It's something that we should spend our life and our strength in pursuing. Holiness. Don't malign it, see it lived out. Don't put it down. Don't sarcastically talk about it. Respect it, honor it, encourage those who practice it wherever you see it. We need more holiness in the church today. We need to be different from the world. God wants us to be different from the world, and the world needs us to be different to show them the way. If you're here this morning, you're not yet a child of God, you need to be a part of the body of Christ. We talked about that last week. It's in the church that we are reconciled to God, Ephesians 2 and verse 16. There's no promise of reconciliation to anyone outside the body of Christ. Jesus gave his blood for the church, and that church is reconciled to God. You need to be a part of that church. If you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, do that. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I trust him. I believe him. You need to trust him and believe him as well. And if you haven't done that, do that, and he'll keep his promise. And as a member of his church, now we have a mission. We have the obligation to bring glory to God with our lives and to set an example and be a light to the world. The world needs to see holy people who are that point of contact between Jesus and the church and the world. Be that person for Jesus. Live a holy life. And if you haven't been as holy as you should, you've made mistakes, you've fallen short, you want to do better, we'll pray with you to that end if you'll come as we stand together and sing.